You people are wonderful. Be seated. Yes, there we go. So unlike my students. I'm a dean of students at Princeton Theological Seminary, and I talked to some of my colleagues. I'm saying, my goodness, these students are sure getting younger, because surely we're not getting older. And as the students come in the different generations, it's amazing that they just don't always listen to what we tell them. They are on their own wavelength. So it's good to be here in this place with folks who understand a little bit of what I'm saying. Friends, our scripture lesson today comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 40. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for the master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready. Let me repeat that. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, please pray with me. Great God, we thank you for the witness of your word. We pray that we may take its message to heart, that we can be about your business this day and every day. Help us to have our priorities in check and have our hearts ready for you. We ask this in the name of the one who has given us all good blessings, Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, as I look around the congregation, I see some folks who are a bit more mature than some of my students. And those of us from a previous generation remember the great groups of the record label known as Motown. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Should we be of a certain age, we can easily recall the names of the solo artists and groups who hailed from what was then called the Motor City, thus Motown. And without thinking, I am sure that some of you can name some of those groups that were indeed on the airwaves of the radios in the 60s and 70s. What are some of those names of those groups, those individual artists from Motown?
Temptations.
Temptations. What else?
Flamingos.
Flamingos. What else?
Supremes.
Smokey.
Smokey.
Whoa, that went down. What are some other names? Who's that? Well, the Platters were from that generation. They were on Atlantic label, a different label, but that's all right. It still works. That's all. Don't leave now, because we're in a non-judgmental zone. It's okay. God doesn't care about labels. This is just part of my sermon today. It's okay. Don't worry. We are not going to talk bad about anybody today, but we remember, we just shouted out some names that we remember from that generation. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. We have, of course, the Four Tops, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. One of my mother's favorites, Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Yes. And some of us, no one said the Jackson 5. Think about them. They were there in Motown. They were younger than us. I wasn't going to say it, Arlie, but that's true. They were younger. We're not going to go there. Individual artists included my mother's favorite, Marvin Gaye. There was Stevie Wonder when he was still little. Yes, the names go on and on. I can literally chart certain periods of my life by tracking particular songs which came out at a time. My wife, who is not able to make it this week with me, she claims even a stronger tie to Motown, as she was born in that city. She was raised in that city, and she was indeed educated in Detroit. Every year we have to make a pilgrimage to that city for one reason or another, because she's from Motown. Her mother tells the story of the days when there were three young ladies who would just run past their kitchen window on their way to work, which was the recording studio. Those three young ladies were the Supremes. Can you imagine seeing that and having that in your memory? Now, if I were to name a favorite group of mine from that label and from that era, it would have to be, my mother knows it, the Temptations. Obviously, I have a plenty of company, as they were among the first group named here this day. They were also among the first groups inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were inducted in that group in 1989. Songs like My Girl, Just My Imagination, and Ain't Too Proud to Beg are, simply put, classics. And this Ain't Too Proud to Beg, it is the name of one of the hottest shows on Broadway right now, because it's a show that tells about their life and their music. I must admit, I went to see it the first week that it was out. And there was a gentleman there who was much older than I, and he looked nothing like the Temptations. He said it was his lifelong ambition to be a part of the Temptations. And we all looked and said, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. There were some of us who were fortunate enough to see what we call the tempting temptations in their heyday, some 40 or 50 years ago, in places like the Civic Arena. Oh my gosh, they tore down. Yeah, David Ruffin was back there. You know, Eddie Kendricks. Those, remember the other names? Otis Williams. Blue was Melvin Franklin. Yeah, we knew them well. And when they would open a concert, they would often begin with a song that was written by Smokey Robinson. And the name of that song was Get Ready. I never met a girl who makes me feel the way that you do. It's all right. Whenever I'm asked who makes my dreams real, I'll say that you do. You're out of sight. I love the 60s. You're out of sight. You like that? So fee, fi, fo, fum. Look out, baby, cause here I come. And I'm bringing you a love that's true. So get ready. So get ready. I'm gonna try to make love with you. So get ready. So get ready, cause here I do, 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 I'm on my way. Now is the time you could tell me to keep my day job. Or perhaps my Sunday morning job. Now through that presentation of that song, Get Ready. Wow. Through that presentation, they were essentially telling the audience back then to get ready for a performance that they would not soon forget. I know that I'll never forget the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times that I saw those Temptations perform live. The Tempting Temptations. There's only one of the original ones that's still living, Otis Williams. The Tempting Temptations. Get ready. Now that's a memorable lick from a rhythm and blues masterpiece. But it's also a timeless message that comes to us time and again in the scriptures. As I was putting together this particular worship service together, I was realizing that as we looked at the lectionary text, we were having something that sounded almost like an Advent service. So when I sent to Arlie and to Mickey the music, we had some Advent songs put together. You know, Advent, people said, well, it's the middle of summer, the man's gone crazy. I know I'm crazy, but it's okay. I'm crazy for Christ, it's okay. There's a liturgical season of the year known as Advent that is between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which we are looking for the coming again of the Messiah. And in the lectionary, at least in the Lucan passage from Luke 12, we are given this passage that tells us to get ready. Now, our passage itself may sound familiar to us as a pieces of it find its message not just here in Luke's gospel, but also in that portion of Matthew's gospel, which is known to us as the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7. And as we look to chapter 12 of Luke's gospel, we see that in verse 32, Luke picks up the narrative as Jesus has just completed the parable of the rich man who was looking to build more and larger barns so that he can store all that grain. He said, oh, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I'll build more barns. I'll get richer and richer. And then he gets the word that, not so fast, my friend. Your life, your planning, your dreams of and for yourself are coming to an end. The audience is told to consider the birds of the air and the lilies of what? The field. They are told that they were not to be consumed by matters of this world. Instead, they were to strive for the kingdom, and the essentials will be given to you. Or perhaps we are comforted by the more familiar language which we find in Matthew 6:33 of the parallel. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. And a song would end, Alleluia. And then we make the relatively smooth transition into our passage of not being fearful and being reminded that we have to get our priorities in order. Please notice that our Lord was not stating that we were to embrace poverty as a virtue. Those of us who have been poor are quick to say, really? We don't want to be poor. We were not told that we were to be lazy and that we were to just completely rely upon the generosity of others. Instead, the force of the passage has us seeking the higher things which are above, those treasures which are in heaven that cannot be stolen by a thief or destroyed by moss or corroded by rust. Friends, I can tell you from personal experience that it is devastating to be victimized by a thief. To have something stolen from you, if you have had something stolen from you, raise your hand. Isn't that an awful feeling? To have something stolen from you. I can clearly remember the three times it happened to me that I'm aware of. Once was at a Pirates spring training game in Bradenton, Florida. McKechnie Field, when someone picked my pocket. I can remember the other time when I was in Daytona Beach, Florida. Someone broke into my hotel room when I was in the ocean. Maybe I should stay away from Florida for a while. A third time was more than 20 years ago when I was pastoring a congregation in Princeton, New Jersey. And I was away at a session meeting. Gosh, not only did I have the elders beating up on me at a session meeting. No, elders never do that, do you? Especially not here at Glenshaw Valley. But not only was I indeed having conversations with elders at a session meeting. That's cleaner, right? But I came home to find that the church manse had been broken into. Someone said, it's too bad. Believe me. When you have been victimized by a thief, you start to second guess yourselves over and over again. You're saying, did I lock everything up? Did I see any strangers hanging around? Did I feel anybody reach into my pocket? You know, strange thing about that pickpocket, I can still remember his face. Because the person who was sitting behind me, he had a beard. Nice. Lucky I didn't have any money in that wallet. But I remember when I reached down there, I said, gosh, something's gone. I remember going to talk to one of the police officers who was there at McKechnie Field. And that police officer said, really? Did you hear your name being called? He said, because here's the wallet. I said, well, where did you get it from? I asked the police officer. He said, well, some nice young man gave it to us. I said, how did he look? I said, no, let me tell you how he looked. He had a baseball cap on. He had a beard, sunglasses. They said, yes. I said, he stole it. He was a thief. They said, oh. But there was nothing in it, so they decided to. They gave everything back. It pays not to have anything in your wallet, but sometimes you need stuff in your wallet. The statement lifted up in verse 39 of our lesson is oh so true. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. I tell you, if I had known the exact time that a thief was coming, I would have been waiting for that thief. I would have a cell phone on speed dial to 911, and I would probably have an unloaded shotgun in the other hand. I don't think I would shoot anybody, but I would sure want him to get there long enough for the law to take him into jail. Ah, friends. The reason that this biblical lesson speaks to us is because we can never be totally safe from an occurrence, no matter where you live, no matter how safe you try to be. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Even if our homes are fortresses, we have thieves who are looking to hack our financial accounts and records online. It's enough to make you throw up your hands in despair. What are we to do? What can we do? The answer, my friends, comes to us in these two words. Get ready. Our Lord tells those of us who care to listen, do not cling to things of this world. These things things are not that important, but we need to indeed be with those things of the Spirit. Verses 33 and 34 frame it this way: make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. You know, sometimes people like those expensive purses, those designer purses. They're going to wear out. You know, you don't want to have those things, which are just things, but you need to have that unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, no rust can corrode. And in Pittsburgh, we understand the importance of rust, what happens there. My first truck I owned, it just rusted out. If you ever had a vehicle just rust out, raise your hand. Yes, it just rusted out. I remember one day I was trying to just step on the brakes, and all of a sudden I said, oh my gosh, there's the ground. Things were rusting out. That wasn't a treasure. That was a fallacy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And the passage goes on to verse 35 with language so reminiscent of Advent. Yes, we need Advent right now in the middle of summer. 85 degrees. People said, ooh, it's so hot. But don't worry. Pretty soon you're going to say, ooh, it's so cold. Those words come to us: be dressed and have your lamps lit. Now the imagery comes from the setting where servants would be awaiting the master's return from a wedding feast. They would not be fully aware of the time that things were to end. You know, wedding feasts were quite an event back in the day. The whole town was invited, and there would be that special party that would go on and on and on, especially for the people who were the owners of the homes. And you would not know what time everything would come to an end. So the slaves were to have their lamps lit so that they could welcome the master. See, there was no Duquesne light back then. And they were to properly be clothed for action, for work. The clothing would include an apron, what they call in this language, as translated, a belt. And this apron was not used just for clothing. And think about it, aprons are worn by other people in other professions. People who are blacksmiths, they have aprons. People who are carpenters, they have sort of their tool belt, like an apron. Individuals who are indeed working with leather, they have their aprons on. So they got to be ready. And I love it when we get to verse 37, because there's a bit of a switch in the imagery that comes there. And it's an important switch. So we need to pay attention to this. Are you listening to me, friends? Are you listening right now?
Yeah.
Okay, don't fall asleep. Hang in there. Upon his entry, the master would then don his belt, his apron, and he would invite those servants to sit down, and then it would be he who would serve them. What do you think about that? That's all right, isn't it? Amen. This is a reminder that we not only serve our Lord, but it is our Lord who also serves us. In fact, our God has been serving us throughout the entirety of our lives. And in order for us to see the working of God, we have to indeed get ready. We have to stay ready. So you may ask, my friends, how do we get ready and stay ready in this time in history? You know, our country is in a mess right now. Yes. If you believe with that, say amen.
Amen.
You know, regardless of how we vote, we know our country is a mess. which torn asunder by political strife, I would want to see our folks in D.C. get together to get some things happening. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that scourge of gun violence and mass murder has reached an epidemic proportion. I say enough of that. And the language of hate, the language of racism, the language of national elitism and exclusivism has cut to the core of the unity which is so desired by those of us who are in this sanctuary on this day. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
What are we to do? Because throwing in the towel of defeat is not an option. We have to get ready. Curtis Mayfield. He is another classic artist from my youth. He sang with a group that is called The Impressions. See, that's one of the great things about having all these computers, and you can Google all this stuff right away. And The Impressions, their music covered both gospel and pop. One of the most famous songs captured the force of what I am trying to say. It was written by Curtis Mayfield himself. The song goes, "People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no ticket, you just get on board." You ever hear the song? "All you need is faith to keep the diesels humming. You don't need no baggage, you just thank the Lord." And then there's a third verse. People get all happy with that first verse. They don't get to the third verse. But Curtis goes on and says some wonderful and some powerful things in the third verse. He says, "There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner whom would hurt humankind just to save their own. Have pity on those whose chances grow dimmer. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne." And then he goes back again. "People get ready, for there's a train a-coming. You don't need no ticket, you just wear. Get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no baggage, you just thank the Lord." Yes, we ought to sing that song someday. Do you have the words for that? But you can get them. You got it. You got it. Okay, we're going to do that. I'll come back and we're going to sing it. Okay, Mickey?
Okay.
Friends, we have... Uh-oh. You tuck me up on that? Okay. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Friends, we must get ready, for our God is always in our midst. We need to get our hearts right as we head into the future that God has designed for us. It's not just about what we hear and what we see. It's about us being transformed by the Spirit of our risen Lord. So let us get ready. All praise, all glory, all honor be to our God this day and every day. And let the people say amen,
amen.
And amen. Please pray with me. Great God, help us to get our priorities in check. Help us to believe in the power that comes only from you. And great God, may we be drawn together with a spirit of action, a spirit of peace, a spirit of unity. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.